You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. God bless you today. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday here with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. And welcome to everyone. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. We're tuning into his frequency here today. He's got a word for you today. I guarantee it. God is he always has a word for you. He always will lead you and guide you by his righteous right hand. That's going to come through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Here today on the radio, we'll be in John chapter 16. We've been looking on these off days here at this the long night, and that was one long sermon, John chapters 14, 15, and 16. We went out of order. We started with 15, then 14. Here today, we'll be in chapter 16 here in this the last part of this sermon, which he preached around the Last Supper in the upper room. Speaking of upper room, that's where we've been on Sunday mornings as we're going through the book of Acts. I hope everyone enjoyed this program that just aired Tuesday and Wednesday. We're having an excellent time once again through the book of Acts. Well, we always do, because God's word is living and active, sharper than any sword. I invite you guys to church this weekend. My sermon, as we get into chapter 3, I've entitled Peter the Great. We're looking at the early leader of the church, the Apostle Peter, and what great power and authority the Lord gave him. So that's where we're going to be at. We're going to look at the entire chapter 3 this Sunday morning. Now, we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, this Island Community Church. You guys are invited. If you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church home for whatever reason, I invite you to come this Sunday. God's doing an awesome work here at Island. You are invited. We would love to see you. We meet Wednesdays at 6. My associate pastor is leading that up right now. He is in the book of Philippians. It's where he was at last night in Philippians chapter 1. So we'll be there for another 5 weeks or so, and we're going through the book of Acts verse by verse on Sunday mornings. That's where we'll be. Peter the Great. Be in Acts chapter 3. Here today, let's get into the sermon, The Long Night. We're in John chapter 16.
Now we're up to the 16th chapter in our little mini series here. That's probably a little hot. We're working through a new microphone here as well, so that's probably a little loud. We're up to John chapter 16. We're in this little mini series here I've entitled The Long Night. All one sermon, which the Lord spoke in the upper room the night before he was betrayed and crucified. Now, prior to getting started here in verse 26 of the chapter before, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this excellent day. Thank you for inhabiting the praises of your people. That's exactly what it is this morning. You honor your word and you're inhabiting the praises of your people. That's why we're here. We love you. We exalt you. We return to give you glory for who you are and what you've done. Minister to us here this morning. We listen for your voice. Speak to us directly here, Lord. Show us perhaps what one thing we lack today as we listen and draw close to you. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's start with verse 26 from the previous chapter. Let me read this from the ESV translation here to get started. John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth," there's another good proper name for the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." Sometimes we need help to keep from falling away, don't we? Maybe I should say we always need help to keep from falling away. This help was going to come from the Holy Spirit, whom in 51 days would start his ministry. So yes, the triune God does the keeping, but something is required of you most assuredly. It's not all on him. Read the book of Revelation. Something is required of you. And for every church member throughout every church age, something is required of you. It's not just him. Read what the Lord said to all seven churches. And to every church age, he made the promise. He said, "To him who overcomes," something is required of us. We read in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation how to overcome. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Right? "I believe Jesus Christ is Lord," and not only that, because he is. "He's my Lord. The word of my," not the word of your testimony, "the word of my testimony. He's the Lord my God, as he needs to be likewise with you." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So yes, something is required of you. It's not just on him. Something is required of you. The first and greatest commandment is required of you and could be required of you at any given day, in any given moment. The first and greatest commandment: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, Matthew 22, along with my weekly reading in this church of John 12, 25. "He who loves his life will lose it." Do you hear his voice speaking to you this morning? We've insured everything to make sure you hear his voice when you walk into this church this morning. "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So yes, something is required of us. Or this, Romans 11, 22. It says, "Consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God," colon, meaning here comes his list. "Sternness to those that fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." All right, now back to John chapter 16, starting from the top. He said, "I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." I think the New King James says, "to keep you from stumbling." The Greek word scandalon, where our word scandal comes from. He doesn't want a scandal to happen to you and for you to become one. He doesn't want you on the Jerry Springer show for how you became a scandal. Because some Muslim broke into your house and asked, "Were there any Christians in here?" Heaven forbid that happens to you. "I've said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me." All right, now, although this sermon was originally intended for the 11, it still applies to us as well. People can still kill you and think that they're doing some kind of service to God, think they're doing him a favor. When people serve as judge, jury, and executioner, they end up fulfilling this prophecy. Like stoning someone caught in adultery. The Lord Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Now in verse 3, let's pick it up, verse 3. Let's go now to the New King James. These things they will do to you because they have not known the Father, nor, that's N-O-R, in case you're wondering how to spell nor, nor me. So much for Oneness Pentecostals. There goes that denomination right out the side door. Nor. Look, Jesus is not God the Father. He's telling you that right here in this text. Please, believe the Bible. Believe what the Bible says. Don't believe something only for the sake because the denomination tells you that. Believe what the Word of God tells you. We might have Southern Baptists on the sign out there, but we follow and believe and teach what the Word of God says. Believe the Word of God. Believe the Bible. Believe the Bible and you'll always get it right. Now the Lord says, they have not known the Father, neither have they known me. This is so simple, even a child can get this. If you miss this, you've had help to misunderstand this. Oneness Pentecostalism is unbiblical. If you didn't believe in the Trinity back in the day, you were thrown out of the church. You were labeled a heretic. Look, what part of the Holy Spirit being God do you exactly have a problem with? What part of Jesus being God are you so bent out of shape over? Anyone got anything to say? Words matter in the Bible. The word nor matters. The Father nor me. Hear it, read it, understand it. Now watch this verse, Matthew 3:16. It says, now when he had been baptized, Jesus immediately came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. So much for Jesus being the Holy Spirit. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, utos estin ho weos mu, ho agapeiros on judicesa, acuete autu, which means, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So much for the Son being the Father. You got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all revealed in one verse. There's your Trinity. It's right there. Read it and rejoice. Again, I just don't understand. What part of the Holy Spirit being God do people have a problem with? Oh, we don't believe in the Trinity around here. All right. That says the Father. It says Jehovah is God. All in. The Son is God. Now, let's do that. The Son is God. Any objections? Raiseth thine hand. How about you, Wade? You object to that? How about the Holy Spirit is God? Any objections? Remember, Peter said, you have not lied to men. You've lied to God. Peter told you the Holy Spirit was God. So, I pity the fool who approaches you in the future and tells you either Jesus is not God or that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. To deny the Trinity, knowing what you know now, it's no longer ignorant now. It's much, much worse than that. You're not ignorant anymore. Now, if you don't think Jesus is God, now if you don't think the Holy Spirit is God, then your problem has morphed into something worse than ignorance. Because now you know the truth and you can no longer be ignorant. Which leads us now to verse 4. There's a lot of oneness Pentecostals. T.D. Jakes is a oneness Pentecostal. The largest Pentecostal church in Palm Bay are oneness Pentecostals. They believe when Jesus was here on earth, there was no one on the throne. That God left his position as God and became the Son of God. And I'm just here to show you that that's heresy. It's heresy. Used to be heresy. Verse 4. These things I've told you so that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. You see, when the time comes, he says, you'll remember. When the time comes, you'll remember that God has revealed himself in three persons. When the time comes, how can I get through this trial in my life? When the time comes, at just the right moment, you will hear or read things like this. Philippians 1:6, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or James 1:2, you might hear, the testing of my faith develops endurance. These are the kind of things the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance in times of need. Or Philippians 1:29, to you it's been granted not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. Now that's when he spoke to me when my prior wife died right in front of my eyes. Now that wasn't a word that I thought that I needed to hear at the time. But looking back at it today, it's the exact word that I needed to hear at the time. Those are examples of this promise in action. When the time comes, you'll remember. Maybe we need to slow that down. When the time comes, you will remember. But let me say, you can't remember something you've never heard. There's nothing to recollect. Or I guess I should say, not recollect. Recollect. Look, the Holy Spirit, I've said it before, the Holy Spirit speaks word. Do you know his language? He speaks word. Jesus promised that when he goes, the Holy Spirit is going to speak word to you. That's his promise. There's nothing to recollect. Now, you need to do some collecting first so that in your time of need, then you can do some recollecting. First, you got to collect, which is why here at Island, Pastor Darren and myself teach the entire New Testament verse by verse, cover to cover, do we not? That's what we do here. Jean's not here. She's back there with the kids. She is on a through the New Testament in a year in her Bible. She comes in here every week with a question out of a different gospel. First it was Matthew, then it was Mark. The other day she's asking me questions about Luke. That's a great thing. Go through the New Testament in a year. Okay, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Notice the conditional word if here used twice. The coming of the Holy Spirit of God is conditional. It's conditional on the Son of God leaving this world. for reasons way above my pay grade, the two ministries do not coexist on earth. Yes, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, we just looked at that a minute ago. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit didn't start until 10 days after he departed this world on the day of Pentecost. All right, so here's a curious question. What happens here on earth when the ministry of the Holy Spirit is done? We're going to look at, there's actually an answer to that. If you would please turn with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You guys, I've heard the writer, someone say it over here. 2 Thessalonians, a little book after Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. Then there's 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Everybody there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I ask the question, what happens when the Holy Spirit's done? What happens when he's done? And is he going to be done? Does the Bible say what's going to happen? Yes, to answer that question. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." And to that I say, look around, church. Turn on the news. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's all around us. Only he, now catch the capital H there if you have a New King James Bible. The translators are telling you this is deity of some sort, be it Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Here it's the Holy Spirit because remember, it's his ministry now. Jesus said, it can't start unless if I go away. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry. It's the Holy Spirit that's saving people out here today. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains. Now that Greek word is the word kateko. Kata means down. Echo means to hold. It's the same word used in Romans 1, where it says that they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Here, it's the Holy Spirit is like a Hoover Dam. It's Almighty God suppressing all of the evil that's going on here in this world. The mystery of lawlessness, it's already at work. Only he, capital H, he who now restrains will do so until, look at that, there's a time coming when it's going to end. Until he is taken out of the way. And then, catch the word then. And then, after the great restrainer is taken away. And then the lawless one, that's Antichrist. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Or better yet, poof, unveiled, like a new car at a car show. Poof, undercover. Apocalypse is the word. And then the lawless one will be unveiled, whom the Lord will consume. Catch it, not the Holy Spirit will consume, the Lord will consume. Because the Holy Spirit's ministry is going to be done at this point. In other words, once the Holy Spirit is gone from here, that's all she wrote. It's all over. I've said it a million times in here. Once you see Jesus, then it's too late. Once you see him, it's too late. Once you see him, it's too late. Either because you've died and you've left this world, or because he's come back at an hour that you thought not, at a time when you weren't expecting him to. Once you see him, it's too late. The Holy Spirit's not going to consume him. The Lord's going to consume him with the breath of his mouth. and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. I mean, there ain't no sunglasses in the world that's going to stop you or prevent this from happening to you. So again, where the ministry of the Holy Spirit is complete, that's it. That's the last opportunity for you to believe in Jesus Christ. And then everyone on planet Earth finally gets their wish. And that is, do what you want with no restraint anymore. You finally get what you want. Let's move on. Like they used to say when I used to watch championship wrestling, they call it no holds barred. At this point, there's no more good to restrain the evil. And right after this, the Lord Jesus will return. The Bible says he's returning in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God or on those who don't obey the gospel. All right, now let's move on here to verse 8 and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll clue you guys in on a secret. Satan didn't want me to come to church today. But guess what? I'm here, and he lost. Amen. To the glory of God. Ask my wife. Boy, was I down for the count. But not down for the count because I'm here. Got up at 9. I can go home and be sick later, not this morning. Verse 8, he said, it is to your advantage that I'm going away. For if I do not go away, then the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin. Now catch the word because in each of these verses. You don't need me to tell you. He's going to tell you why himself. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who's the ruler of this world? Satan, right. But Jesus calls him that twice. John chapter 12, John chapter 14. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul calls him the God of this world. Okay, let's look at these three things. Number one, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. And he answers this one plain and simple. The sin is what? Unbelief is the sin. Not sins, plural. Sin, singular. One sin, unbelief. Unbelief. You see, once you get that right, then everything else will fall into place. Once you realize and understand you're a sinner and you're on a slippery slope on the fast track to hell, once you realize that the man of the glory took your penalty for you and died in your place, get that right, everything else takes care of itself. When you understand that he is offering you the opportunity to be forgiven of sin and to be made right with God and to be in right standing with God and receive eternal life, once you get that right, then you'll be forgiven of all of your other sins, plural, as well. But the sin of unbelief comes first. You got to deal with that first. Do you believe in the man in the glory?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.